Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Sunday morning worship on this last Sunday in June. Can you hear me? Yeah, okay. Do you look good? Yeah. So we're nearly halfway through 2022 already. As the saying goes, doesn't time fly? Well, there's another saying that needs further attention and thought and reflection, and it's this: our times are in God's hands. Our times are in God's hands. This morning, let's welcome those who are coming joining us via Zoom. Just before we move on to our call to worship, I just thought I'd have a chance to... Morning, Prince. Bless you. Okay. Right. We're just going to say hello to everyone on Zoom. Not quite sure how many are joining us this morning, but it'd be good to see their faces, some of them. Oh, here's... Yep. Fat Norman, Chris, Teen. Okay. Well, wonderful. Good to see you. Good morning. Good to see you all. That's right. Okay, wonderful. We're welcoming in the name of Jesus. Yep. Excellent. Right. We're going to move on to our call to worship now. This is we're going to watch a video. And this shows a variety of flowers accompanied by some music. That's the opening of these flowers accompanied by some music. And it's using time-lapse photography. So it's a reminder of the color and variety and fragility of God's creation all around us, and also it reminds us that it takes time to make something beautiful, doesn't it? There is one of these images which I think is different from the others, an odd one out. See if you can spot which one is the odd one out of these, but here's our call to worship this morning.
Amazing. God's made all things beautiful in its time.
And anyone spot the odd one out from those images? I'm sure some of them would, some of us here would be able to name all those flowers. Not that I could, but but anybody spot the odd one out of those? The dandelion, that's right, yes. The dandelion wasn't the flower coming out, it was the... but the dandelion clock, again, ties in with our kind of theme of time this morning, but yes. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. This is 68 in Baptist Praise and Worship, but the words will be up on our screen here. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we do praise and adore you. We come together today to remind ourselves, to remind each other of the amazing things that you've done in creation, through Christ, and in our lives by your Holy Spirit. And we come that we might be transformed, we might be made new, we might be changed. Lord, we pray that you would touch our hearts by your Holy Spirit. We believe and know that you dwell with us and within us. So, Lord, we lift up your name. We seek to glorify you in all that we do. And we ask your forgiveness for those times in which our lives haven't glorified you. So we come before you with confession and sorrow. But Lord, the greater sense of feeling is that great sense of relief and wonder that you're a God who forgives, you're a God of grace who welcomes us. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the wonder of your love, the wonder of your presence with us now. Join together by saying the Lord's Prayer. We'll use the modern version, the first version on the inside of our hymn books. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Well, today, it gives me great pleasure, on behalf of all the fellowship here, to be welcoming Rosebery Hall into the membership at Carey Baptist Church. Now, Chris and I have known Rosemary ever since we moved to Hemel, because she's one of our next-door neighbours, and while we had chickens in our back garden, we were regularly giving Steve and Rosemary freshly laid eggs, and Rosemary in return would give us a supply of cakes. So it was a good arrangement, really. But yes, okay. Now, Rosemary's auntie, some of you will know, was the late Jocelyn Harris. Joss always had a twinkle in her eye, and she was often here in Kerry when she could be, and she'd be pleased to know that Rose is coming into membership here. Rose, of course, has been attending Kerry via Zoom ever since the start of the pandemic. Rose works for Decorum Community Trust, so there isn't much she doesn't know about Hemel, or many people she doesn't know in Hemel, so good person to know. But without further ado, I'd like to invite Rosemary to come forward to the front here and to join me up the front. If you'd like to stand here, Rosemary, so behind the Bible, so we can hopefully hear you. There's the microphone. That's it. Oh, that's it. There we go. Right. Okay. So I'm going to ask you a couple of questions now, so you have an opportunity to publicly profess your faith in Jesus today. So, Rosemary Hall, do you believe in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and do you seek to follow Jesus in your daily life?
Yes, I do.
Okay, right. Brilliant. Praise God. Thank you. Hallelujah. Shall I? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Do you believe God has called you to serve him as part of this church, Carey Baptist Church?
I do, yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And now, as our response, we're going to respond as a congregation. I'd like to invite you to stand and respond together to this question. We do. Members and friends of Carey Baptist Church, do you welcome Rosemary into membership with Carey, and do you promise to care for her, to pray for her, and to support her in her Christian life?
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, I believe, okay, if you'd like to sit down again, that's wonderful. Now, I believe Rosemary has a few words she'd like to share with us. Just a few words, that's right, yes.
I haven't written anything.
No, okay, that's wonderful.
I thought I'd best not.
Yep.
No, I just wanted to really say, obviously, Carey Baptist Church does mean a lot to me and to my family. I'm not used to talking in public, although I did work at West Hearts College and used to have to stand up and talk there, and it was very nerve-wracking, especially when the students were mimicking and things. Bless their hearts. But no, it does mean a lot, and obviously we've been neighbours to the Manse for many, 35 years, I think, we've lived there. My children all have been baptised. My daughter even came here to Joan, to Girls Brigade. And obviously Auntie Joss came here, and she's got a very important place in our hearts still, and we miss her dreadfully. But I appreciate all you welcoming me, and you've all been really, really lovely, and I'm continuing to do the newsletter, and it'll be nice to put some faces, names to faces later when I come for a tea and coffee, and I've made some scones. As you do. So thank you again, and I look forward to seeing you all very, very soon, you know, every Sunday. If I can't be here I'll be on Zoom, because I've got to go back to see the consultant with my other eye. So I may have to shield for a little while I'm waiting for the operation to go through. But thank you. You've all been lovely, and you all, and praise the Lord.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for a minute. I'm just going to shake your hand to welcome you formally to membership here. That's right. And also, I've got a couple of cards. So there's a membership card.
Oh, lovely.
And another card as well.
That's right, yes. Thank you.
And just before we go, we're going to pray for you.
So, thank you.
It's wonderful. Thanks very much for what you shared. Robin, I wonder if you'd just come and join me to pray with Ray Rosemary. Yep. I don't know if somebody else wants to come. Charlene, do you want to come? That's right. That's wonderful. That'd be great. Yeah. So we're gonna pray for Rosemary and family, and give thanks to the Lord. So let's pray, shall we? Judy. Oh, wonderful. Okay.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your calling on our lives. We thank you for bringing Rosemary here. We thank you for the many links that she already has with Carrie and previously with Marlowe's as well. So we praise you, and we thank you for her, and we ask, Lord, that you would continue to use her by your Holy Spirit. I thank you that she's an encouragement to us already, and I pray that we would be an encouragement to her too. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Oh yes, we're going to have our first reading now, first New Testament reading. This is 2 Corinthians 5, and I believe Judy is going to come forward again and read this for us.
Okay. It's a wonderful reading, in fact. It is on page 1161 in your new Bibles. It's from verses 14 to 20. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Thanks be to God for his word. Amen.
We're going to respond to the good news of Jesus as we sing together now, The King of Love. This is 1025 in Songs of Fellowship, The King of Love.
Songs of love, calling out to
desire is to have you near. Lord, you know that you are welcome here. Before such love, before such grace, I will let the walls come down. I'll sing my songs of love, calling out across the earth. The King has come, the King of love has come. And troubled minds can know his peace, captive hearts can be released. The King has come, the King of love has come. Hallelujah. Our next song, Everyone Needs Compassion. And I'm always reminded, one of the scriptures that has meant a lot to me over the years is Paul writing, do you not know that it's the kindness of God, the kindness of Christ, which brings you to repentance? Everyone needs compassion. This is 1757 in Songs of Fellowship. Needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save, he is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. He wants to find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. See, we're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Hallelujah. Praise God. Please be seated. We're going to continue to worship the Lord as we take up our morning offering now, just before the children go out to children's church. There's no youth church this morning, but there is a children's church. Please stand. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your love is personal and it is never failing. So we bring you these gifts and the gifts given in other ways to say thank you and to declare our love for you. And we pray now for children and their leaders as they go to their group now, to Children's Church. We ask that you would bless them in their time together. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now we have our notices. Over to Kathleen. Yeah. Thank you, Kathleen.
I'm afraid there's always some issue with me, and I faffed around so much this morning, I rushed out without my reading glasses. But I think I remember. Colin is planning to run a short series of membership classes. If anyone is interested in joining these, please contact Colin personally by phone or email, and his details are on the newsletter. But please note, this does not commit you to joining the church. It just lets you consider taking a step forward of faith. Two dates for your diary. First of all, Obed and Rifat invite us all to breakfast and a time of fellowship on Saturday the 9th of July from 8 a.m. onwards. Everybody's welcome at their house at 32 Hilldown Road. And the address and the time again are on the timesheet, the newsletter. Second date, Sunday the 17th of July, there is a food from around the world following the service. This is a shared lunch. Again, everybody is invited. We would kindly ask, however, that you put your name down so we know how many people will be coming, and there is a list on the notice board for you to put your name on. And we would kindly welcome contributions of food from your original country or culture. Thank you. So that's two dates, 9th for breakfast at Obed's, 17th after church, the lunch. Now, if you're home in time, Songs of Praise Today on BBC One at 1:15 was recorded at the Baptist Together Annual Assembly in Bournemouth. You might want to catch that if you're home in time. And lastly, there are still a few spaces left to... Still a few spaces left to go to the retreat at Stanton House near Oxford. If you're interested, please see Hilary. And a big thank you to all the people who baked cakes for our stall yesterday at the Armed Forces Day. It was wonderful. And all the volunteers who came to help along the way. Every last cake was sold. And I think we still got to count the money. Some people met the mayor. Yes, didn't we, Charlene? Yes, very good. Have we still to count the money?
Over £200 raised.
Excellent.
Yeah, so we asked this right yesterday, so yeah, it was a good result. So yeah. It was wonderful to raise that money, but also wonderful to be part of the community and to have so many conversations going on with all sorts of people. So it was great. We enjoyed that. Our second reading then is from Genesis 31, verses 17 to 28. And this is on page 34 of our Pew Bibles. This is continuing the story of Jacob. Then Jacob put his children and his wives on camels, and he drove all his livestock ahead of him, along with all the goods he had accumulated in Padan Aram, to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. When Laban had gone to shear his sheep, Rachel stole her father's household goods. Moreover, Jacob deceived Laban and the Aramean by not telling him he was running away. So he fled with all he had, crossed the river Euphrates, and headed for the hill country of Gilead. On the third day, Laban was told that Jacob had fled. Taking his relatives with him, he pursued Jacob for 7 days and caught up with him in the hill country of Gilead. Then God came to Laban, the Aramean, in a dream at night and said to him, "Be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad." Jacob had pitched his tent in the hill country of Gilead when Laban overtook him, and Laban and his relatives camped there too. Then Laban said to Jacob, "What have you done? You've deceived me and you've carried off my daughters like captives in war. Why did you run off secretly and deceive me? Why didn't you tell me so that I could send you away with joy and singing to the music of tambourines and harps? You didn't even let me kiss my grandchildren and my daughters goodbye. You have done a foolish thing." And then continuing on, just later in the chapter, from verse 48, Laban said to Jacob, "This heap of stones is a witness between you and me today. That is why it was called Gilead. It was also called Mizpah, because he said, 'May the Lord keep watch between you and me when we are away from each other. If you ill-treat my daughters, or if you take any wives beside my daughters, even though no one is with us, remember that God is a witness between you and me.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We're going to sing a song now, a very well-known chorus from many years ago, "Bind Us Together, Lord," as we think about what it means to be one in heart and mind, a one fellowship. "Bind us together, Lord, with cords that cannot be broken." This is number 43 in Songs of Fellowship. My talk this morning is entitled "Stockpiling Sheep, Piling Up Stones." Well, Jacob still hasn't learned his lesson, has he? Again, he seeks to deceive family members. Okay, it's true that his relative Laban has already tricked Jacob into marrying Leah ahead of Rachel by disguising Leah. So Laban actually gave Jacob a dose of his own medicine. And Jacob ends up working for Laban a lot longer than he first bargained for, 20 years of looking after Laban's sheep for him. But here again, Jacob still wants to gain the advantage over others close to him, just as he did with his brother Esau before. Jacob makes sure that he gains more sheep than Laban. Don't ask me to explain how, but he manages to do this, and this is how spotted sheep first got the name Jacob's sheep. And Jacob is accused here by Laban of deceit by running away with his daughters without telling him. But what is also significant is this. It's Laban, not Jacob, who suggests how they might reconcile their differences. Laban pursues and catches Jacob and his family. He's the one who's been wronged. And Laban berates Jacob for his deceitful behavior. That's despite the dream Laban has had just before their meeting. A dream where the Lord tells Laban, don't say anything either good or bad to Jacob, which is a curious command, curious instruction, isn't it, really? And that kind of then leads me to the question, was Laban then disobedient to God's message to him? And I don't think so, actually. I think Laban just tells Jacob as it is. He tells Jacob the truth. He tells him how he feels about his behavior. But because of his dream of God, Laban doesn't seek any revenge or advantage. He doesn't threaten Jacob with anything. Instead, he seeks to restore their relationship. He offers to make a covenant. He offers to make peace, to come to a new agreement, a new relationship together. A bit like the covenant we've just entered into with Rosemary today as she's come into membership here at Carey. Praise the Lord. But to return to our story, it seems that Jacob has got away again with his deceitful behavior. He's got away with it. Really? Really? No, I don't think so. He can run, but he can't hide. There is no escape for Jacob. Having left one family fallout behind, it now seems his brother Esau is also pursuing him. That's in the next chapter, chapter 32, if you read on. But Esau is not actually pursuing Jacob. We know who is really pursuing Jacob, don't we? We know, don't we, who is pursuing Jacob. It is God who pursues Jacob. Throughout his slippery life, all his evasions, all his running away, all his attempts to hide from the truth, God pursues Jacob. I wonder, have you ever had that sense yourself of the hound of heaven pursuing you? I know I have, and still do. Even when we've surrendered ourselves to God, or think we have, even then God still pursues us and seeks us out. Through all our smoke screens, through all our evasions, through all the ways we deceive ourselves and others, God still is on our heels. God is still unavoidable, right in front of us, right beside us, right behind us. In the day, at night, in our dreams, God still comes to us, graciously, patiently, persistently. God seeks us out, as Laban did with Jacob, as Esau did eventually with Jacob, as the nameless shrouded figure in Jacob's dream in chapter 32. And Jacob asks this figure, who are you? What is your name? This anonymous shadowy figure, but Jacob knows. He knows very well who this is. And we know who it is who haunts our dreams and every minute of every day. Let me tell you a story from this week. It's about one of the counselors who Chris supervises. He's not a believer, at least I don't think so, but it seems God is pursuing him, certainly. He went to Israel recently and almost inevitably ended up in Bethlehem. And he was there among the worshippers in the Church of the Nativity. He witnessed their tears and their devotion, their love for God. Amongst the darkness and coolness and candles of that church, this guy was surprised. Surprised because he was profoundly moved. He got goosebumps. He found himself in tears. So one of the first things he did on his return to this country was that he asked to see Chris because he knows that she's a Christian. And he told her about this experience. And as he told her, he got goosebumps all over again. He was moved all over again. And Chris said to him, I believe you may have had an experience of God. Maybe this is just the beginning of something, or maybe, well, God has probably been working on this guy for some time already, but hallelujah. God is pursuing this particular man. This guy's experience is very similar to Jacob's surprise earlier at Bethel. If you remember, Jacob wakes up from his dream of this ladder to heaven, and he says in awed tones, God is in this place. God has always been here with me, and I'd not realized it. What is it which changes Jacob into Israel? Well, it's simply this. He meets God face to face. Only when he sees God for the first time does he first see and recognize other people for who they are. Jacob says to Esau in chapter 32, seeing you today has been like seeing the face of God. I saw the face of God recently in the face of a homeless woman who came to Carey on the night we had the Churches Together AGM here. Her name is Laura. Suicidal, wounded in more ways than one. Someone made in the image of God, loved by God. And I still feel I could have done more to help her. But do pray for Laura, won't you? From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, is Paul's words here in 2 Corinthians 5. And it's this thing about seeing people in a new way, which is why I chose this as our second reading, 2 Corinthians 5 again. Like so much of Paul's writings, it's stirring stuff. And it's also uncomfortable stuff. In Christ, we are a new creation. The old has gone. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Really? Us? Yes, us. God is making an appeal to others through us. Yes. And Paul drives home his point with this amazing picture. We are Christ's ambassadors. We are Christ's ambassadors. Wow. If we're honest with ourselves, we can all recognize something of Jacob in ourselves. We are all people who seek to gain an advantage over others. And what is even more shocking is that sometimes we use our faith to do this. We imagine that somehow, because of our faith, we have special access to God. Our faith is sometimes in danger of becoming a holy secret, a special relationship that we and a few people like us have with God. We belong to an extended Israel, and therefore we have received special treatment from God. That's almost the way our minds can start going if we're not careful. But here's the uncomfortable truth. We have to leave ourselves behind. We have to leave our selfish Jacob self behind to truly become Israel. Just like Jacob, we all try to reach a compromise with the truth. We're looking for a comfortable agreement, an accommodation with the truth. But like Jacob, we keep running in a forlorn attempt to find this nowhere place, this place where we can, you know, make some kind of comfortable agreement with the truth. We can only be Christ's ambassadors if we don't keep evading God. We can only be used by God to share the good news of Jesus if we daily humble ourselves before the cross of Christ. If we see the face of God in the face of Christ and in the faces of those around us. Amen. Let me finish with an encouraging story about someone who has been used by God to be an ambassador for Christ here in Hemel. Someone told this story of a curious incident they witnessed in a chippy in Hemel just the other day, just recently. A group of men in their 20s or 30s came barging into the chippy. And one of these guys was very cheerful, and he was singing a song at the top of his lungs. And the song went like this. God loved the world so much, that he gave his only son, his son, that whoever should believe in him shall have eternal life, have life. And the guy witnessing this was really surprised, and he turned to the guy singing this song, and his first question that came to him was, do you know Andrew Masters? Do you know Andrew Masters? And as many of you will know, Andrew Masters leads a Christian mission to local schools called Discovery. And over the last 20 years or so, he's been sharing his faith and singing this very song to primary school children up and across this town of Hemel Hempstead. And this guy in that chippy that day, many years after leaving primary school, has not forgotten Andrew Masters' song and Andrew Masters' message of the love of God. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. Isn't it amazing that the God of all creation, the God of all eternity, can use people like us to share the good news of Jesus and to transform people's lives? Hallelujah. And with this, I must finish. I plead with you, be reconciled to God. Amen. And now our next song, All I Once Held Dear, Built My Life Upon, All This World Reveres. All these things I now consider rubbish, garbage compared with the surpassing greatness, surpassing wonder of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. 646 in Songs of Fellowship, All I Once Held Dear. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Good news. We have been entrusted with the gospel. We have good news for all the earth. God of truth and love, we pray for the mission of the church. this church, the international church, your family. For Christians bearing witness to the gospel throughout the world, in conversations with others, through preaching and teaching, by loving and courageous actions. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for those who are persecuted for their faith, by those among whom they live or work or study. We pray that the light of your gospel may shine in dark places. God of grace and peace, we pray for the mission of the church, for ourselves as we bear witness to the gospel within our community, in conversations with others, through our unity with one another and with all Christians, by our loving involvement with those who need us. We pray for the guidance and inspiration of your Holy Spirit, giving us the right words, right attitudes, right ways of showing our love and concern. We pray for the light of your gospel to shine in dark places. And we pray now for those we know who are finding life dark and difficult right now. We pray that the light of your face would shine on them, the light of your love would shine into their hearts. Today we remember Pauline Barron's son Ian and the family. We pray too for Laura. And we pray too for others who come to our mind now. Heavenly Father, we pray today especially for the people of India and Bangladesh following devastating floods there. We pray too for the people of Afghanistan following a destructive earthquake, a country already in great distress. And remember people like Phil and Liz, BMS mission partners, trying to oversee aid and development programs from the UK. For the people of Afghanistan. Remember the people of Sri Lanka going through a very difficult time at the moment too. And we continue to remember the people of Ukraine for the many people still being forced to leave their homes in terrible and terrifying circumstances. And we pray for those determined to stay and for those who have no choice but to stay. And we pray today for Andre and Irina and Alina and David. We lift them before you. Good news, we've been entrusted with the gospel. God has given us the good news of salvation to share with all the earth. God of power and glory, we pray for the coming of your kingdom of love. In the name of Jesus Christ, your word made flesh. Amen. And now our closing hymn. This is 521 in Baptist Praise and Worship. Be thou my vision. Be thou my vision. The prayer of St. Patrick.
My heart.
A blessing that I'd like us to read together to one another. Shalom, my friends. God's peace, my friends. Go with you now and stay with you in all you do. Shalom, shalom, shalom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.